Good afternoon, Eye of the Faces listeners. This is Sir Buckley talking to you from quite sunny England today, the day before episode 5, which means we still need to talk about episode 4, The Last of the Starks. Luckily, not The Last of Us just yet. I'm assuming someone else has made that joke already, but I haven't heard it, so I'm going to do it instead. Today, before we get to our little mini-cast and our chit-chat about Last of the Starks, just want to inform you that I had a big milestone for myself this week, where I was invited on History of Westeros's live stream of their book to show stream. They do 3 streams a week somehow, and I was invited on the middle one, where I got to talk about The Last of the Starks already, hence the delay for this podcast. I've wrote about it enough on Twitter, so I won't bore you too much here, but very big moment for me. I've been working with History of Westeros for 2 years now, been listening to it even longer. I was also lucky enough to be on the episode with Lady Gwyn from Radio Westeros, who I've also been listening to for just as long. They were really the first two that got me into the whole thing. So to be able to talk with them was beyond an honour. Really, really good fun. Good episode. Lots of funny moments. I don't think I made too much of an arse of myself, but it is possible, so you should probably go and check. I'm sure you are already subscribed to both Radio Westeros and History of Westeros. If you're not, get off my island. Some more housekeeping also. Because she is not satisfied with me telling her she's wrong all the time, our dear Lady Buckley has now cut herself a Twitter so that you can also inform her that I am right and she is wrong. Extra support. Thank you. I appreciate it. You can find her at Baker Buckley, where she has a lovely picture of us visiting King's Landing itself. So that would be fun, if nothing else. Even if you don't want to see her terrible takes and incorrect opinions, you can go and see the picture of King's Landing. So today, The Last of the Starks, which was an episode which, shall we say, had some quite big moments for some quite big characters. But everyone else is going to talk about that. We're going back to our normal minor characters that we're interested in, because a lot happened for them as well, a whole bunch. And also, of course, on top of that, there'll undoubtedly be some arguing. But for arguing, a sir needs a lady. So let's bring in Lady Buckley herself, fresh with new Daenerys-type haircut. Would you like to tell us about your Daenerys haircut?
I've always been blonde, and I just went and got it done.
Now it's curly, like Daenerys at one point.
I've not got a perm, I just had it curled.
Do you think maybe I should get a Sansa haircut now to equal you out?
No.
We'll see, might do that. Are you no longer hungover from last week?
No, recovered? I've recovered now.
Okay. So you've joined Twitter now? Mm-hmm. Come and argue and be wrong there as well.
I can't believe you said you'd lose your dog.
I would have. Amelia Clark smiled at me.
If she smiled at you, you'd give up the dog?
Yes.
Have you seen
those? And the North.
Seen those beautiful eyes?
Yes. I've seen cool. Amelia Clark as well. So talking of arguments then, I've just said we're going to talk about our 5 special minor characters. Do you want to remind everyone who they are?
Gendry, Bronn, Missandei, Gilly, and Podrick.
Pod. So just by hearing those names, I'm sure everyone now remembering the episode has seen we've got quite a lot to talk about, so we'll get to it. And we're going to start off with the...
I think it's quite interesting that, considering before we said that these 5 characters might not have a lot to do, and this episode involved all of them quite a lot.
Most of them, not all.
Well,
let's get to that. Okay. All right, so we're going to start with the 2 G's. We'll start with Mr. Gendry first. So he gets in at the beginning when everyone's happy. Nothing too bad's happened just yet. And he gets made a lord, even though no one really knows anything about Stormlands. Don't think they've mentioned it for about 5 years, maybe.
That was really sweet, though. Like, it was really nice for him to be recognised, and you can see like how much it meant to him, not even to be a lord, but to just be recognised as that he is. Because obviously, up until that point, who knew? Well, Davos.
Yeah.
Was he the only one left who knew?
Not sure. It might have been mentioned to a couple of people. John, maybe. I can't remember.
No, he mentioned it to Tyrion when they were in King's Landing at one point during last season, but I think that it wasn't wide news.
Okay.
And it just gave him a bit more of a standing. It was really nice that she used that gesture. It was a very good political gesture.
So do we think Gendry, and to be fair, you did have a slight notion that this might end up happening. I disagreed. That won't happen in the books, so that doesn't matter. But would he make, is he going to make a good Lord of the Stormlands or Storm's End, do you think?
Well, it depends, because actually he's got no experience any of the matters and anything to do with that. I think more that he understands the workings of the people, and he'd be good in terms of that sense, because he has been
the small folk. Yeah. Not the nobility though.
No, and I don't think whether they would accept them, but then how many of them are left?
Well, yeah, we don't know. Again, we don't know how many are left, but he does have a warhammer, so maybe that will help. Do you think maybe he could use some help from another Stormlander lord that he's made friends with in Ser Davos? Maybe he ends up going, being not a hand, but right-hand man to Gendry?
I did love that moment where he wasn't quite sure whether it was real and it was Davos, when they've had all their little scenes together, their little moments of talking about how they came from Fleabottom. And it was just really nice that he kind of wasn't the, it was the recognition that actually, no, this is real, this is happening.
Yeah, it is nice also for Davos in that he obviously saved Gendry all those years ago, and he tried to serve Storm's End before and it obviously didn't work out very well, but now he's, by saving Gendry, it's kind of come full circle, and Davos has provided them with a lord again. So it's a nice moment for Davos when he doesn't get to do all that much lately.
Yeah, I think he would make the lord the same way that Davos has built himself up. Davos worked to where he is from being the same roots as Gendry, so I think that's the same kind of path he could take.
Yeah, possibly.
But actually on the show, with the amount of episodes got left, I can see him just, that having been his goodbye.
Well, we'll get to who's goodbyed and who's not in a minute. So we didn't exactly guess that, well, you kind of did, but we didn't really think that Daenerys would just turn around and make him lord, because that seemed a bit pointless. But we did have talks about Stark plus Baratheon finally happening, which he kind of did before, but now it could happen officially. Generally,
it didn't happen before, did it?
No, they slept together is what I mean.
Oh.
Right. But anyway, so Gendry had the same idea of official Stark plus Baratheon. He goes and puts the idea to Arya and then gets shot down like an arrow.
Is that a true reflection of what he wanted, or is that within the heat of the moment, having defeated death, as it were, and being drunk, just found out you've become a lord, all your like wildest dreams have all come true and it's on a massive high? Or
I'm sure that's a part of it. He probably wasn't planning on proposing to Arya, but he was already looking for, that's where he was going, he was already looking for Arya, so the bedrock of it was probably still there.
Yeah, he was looking for her, but that was still in the midst of a feast. The wave of euphoria having come back from that battle is a huge high. Like, I don't think this is a crushing blow for Gendry. I think it was a crushing blow for fans, because you want to see them together. But for him, I think the news that he's lord and all of these other things, like, he will take joy from that.
Yeah.
And I think he understands Arya enough to know that it was not destined.
Well, possibly. So we've all been a bit of a keen Gendry before, or Keendry, which we'll now call him. Keendry. And like you say, it is a bit heartbreaking for fans, but it'll probably be all right. It's a bit of a bittersweet moment. But as you say, we got Arya turning him down and doing it by repeating her famous words to Ned of, "That's not me," which I give a clippity clap clap for, because I like those lines and I'm really glad she just, no stringing along, cut him straight. Sorry, Gendry. Keendry.
I think she was always never going to be that kind of lady figure, but as well, you've got to consider her path that she's been on, that she is such a kind of assassin warrior figure, that for her to have considered that would have been so out of character.
Yeah, well, if she was going to stay in her castle and be a lady, I think she would have done it at home. And as we see later in the episode, she's not interested in that, even with her family. So
yeah,
we'll have to see about her.
To me, like, I don't want to see, like, Gendry heartbroken, things like that. I think that actually he understands her enough to know that he was more on a wave of euphoria and a wave of, well, he clearly does love her, but he hadn't thought about the logic side of it, in the sense that he had, like, kind of, rose into glasses to the situation at the time just because of what was going on.
What do you think of the idea that he didn't pursue her before because he felt he couldn't, being a bastard? So this getting a title all of a sudden is like, oh, I can actually pursue her, because it was her, she came after him in the episode 2. What do you think of that?
I think it's a good idea, but I don't think that was his mindset. I don't think that was his kind of thought process towards it. I think with him, it was more, I'm still going on the lines of, it was based upon he cared for her. He was coming up with all these plans in his head. He's just been made a lord when you've been a bastard all your life. You've been fighting for your life for a long time, hiding away, make sure that no one, like, gold cloaks are looking for you all these times. That actually, I don't think it was a thought. I don't think it was a planned process. I don't think any of that was thought about. I do like the idea that that was within his mind, but...
So we'll do... should we do who we think we'll see again at the end, or should we do them one by one?
One by one.
One by one. All right, do we see Kendry again, do you think?
No.
I don't think we do either. Don't think... Although, even though he is travelling in the same direction, so possibly he's with John, etc., and he's going to stop off and help at King's Landing, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the last to see we see of him.
I think the only time you may see him is some kind of final scene where maybe him and Davos break off.
Yeah, perhaps if Davos survives everything and he goes home,
yeah,
quote marks, to Storm's End, and you see Gendry already there with like 1,000 Warhammers or whatever.
Well, that's it. It's not, I don't think it'll be a big scene or anything like that. It just might be a like closing scene for his character.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's time, if there's not a huge massacre about to happen.
So, speaking of goodbye scenes, then we'll move on to G2, which is Gilly. And she was part of that big goodbye scene of Tormund and Sam and Gilly and Ghost.
My ghost.
And obviously, she's quite heavily linked to Sam. So, I was surprised that they were kind of. That did look pretty final, that last shot of John looking back and watching him go. And you would have thought that Sam, being as major a character as he is, would have had more to do in season 8. He did have a little bit at the beginning, but not a lot really. You wouldn't think he was out of it already, but it certainly seems that way.
But I wonder if there's something from afar. So they, what I do like with that scene was you did have the link of John's entire past. So you've had him when he was a kid growing up in Winterfell with Ghost, and him saying goodbye to that past as a Stark kind of bastard. You've got the link of Sam when he was in the Night's Watch. You've got Tormund when he was leading the, when he went above into the north with Ygritte and everything, and then all the battles bringing them all together. You had all those characters of John's kind of path, as it were, to say goodbye to. He's saying goodbye to his history.
Yeah, that's a good point.
As if it was his kind of final point. But with Sam, it's himself. I think they could do the way that Tormund and him and Gilly said goodbye, it could be a final scene, and I think it felt like it. But then we talked about things to do with the True North and how they could be some kind of link to that. Now they've left some, like, almost major characters up there. They are the link then.
Yeah, I don't think Sam and Gilly are going up there.
No, but they are staying at Winterfell, aren't they? So if they're,
that's what it looked like.
If they're at Winterfell and you've got Tormund going up to the North, well, at some point, if someone's going there, then
maybe
they have that point. It's not likely, but it's a possibility.
Well, back to Gilly specifically then. So the big part of this scene was obviously it turns out that she is pregnant with another little Sam. Her house Tarly lives on. Mm-hmm. So we didn't predict that specifically when we were talking about Gilly way back when. We couldn't really predict where her story was going to go. We did kind of get it right, because we did talk about her being a mothering figure in general to the little girl Teela, when she talked to Davos and the other kind of orphan children in the crypts. She didn't get to talk in the crypts, so we don't really know how that affected her.
Yeah, I think the last time we talked about her, we were so worried that there was just going to be an absolute massacre down there.
Yeah,
we
true.
Didn't see her coming out alive, especially with that mothering figure.
And especially as she was stood there watching the corpses come out of its crypt cave thing. So, yeah, that would have been quite bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what we predicted, wasn't it? That she would.
But I think it's a nice way to tie things off with her. And I think with the death of Sam's family, I think it's also quite fitting for her, the same way that Gendry's arc went. She has come from what you would call quite lowly and downtrodden, beaten.
Well, yeah, couldn't get much lower, could it?
Yeah, and she's worked and worked and worked, and actually, like, through just being that mothering, nurturing figure and having that strength of a mother, that she has actually now, well, she is, well, they're not married, but as in the sense that she is, in all intents and purposes, married to a lord, and she has got a lordly child within her.
Yeah, she's had quite the stretched out arc as a couple, in the literal sense, in that, and we aren't the biggest fan of the Sam Gilly scenes over the years, but they have been, like, from the frozen above the wall wilds all the way down the length of Westeros to Old Town, all the way back up again. They've kind of been everywhere, seen it all, probably been together on screen more than any other two characters, I would guess.
Yeah, I think the only reason we didn't like them in the past was we felt that their scenes always came at pivotal points where you want to know what's happening elsewhere. So it's more of that you want to get through it. Not that they were particularly bad characters, they weren't. It was more that it was always at points where, why are we seeing them? We want to see what's happening here.
And you have said that they are a reflection of us before. Explain.
Only because of where we're from. So if you think about where we're from, I'm from the north, you would be
southwest.
Yep, definitely southwest. So in terms of who they are and where they're from, you have always said that you can't understand my accent or my family's, and we would be wildlings. So
true. That's I like why. Books also.
They love books.
I like books.
I like books too. I'm trying.
Oh, Gilly learned to read, I guess.
I'm learning to read.
Okay. Right, anything else for Gilly? Do you think we specifically see Gilly again? Because I think we must see Sam at some point. He can't just not be in the last two episodes.
I think if there's something that happens in the north again, we will see her. But if we're just going to have some kind of final ending where it's all happening down south, then no, I don't see that. But with the final scene with her and Sam and Tormund and Ghost, I think that was a very final scene.
And she just really got, we didn't think she had much more left anyway, but it was nice of them to give Sam and Gilly a happy ending, considering everything she especially has been through, and Sam as well.
Yeah, the only thing I could see is that, in the same way that we've said with all the things with Game of Thrones, is you've given two people that we've already talked about a happy ending, which doesn't happen. So what could happen to those two? Well, something could happen.
But I don't think they've got time for them. Though,
there's too. Not for these two. The full length of a full, like, of a earlier season. Yeah. Then.
Okay, so let's move on from Gilly to Poddy Pod and his very successful episode. We see him the least out of these five. Only for a minute, but what I want to know is why Podrick doesn't get to play the drinking game.
He was playing.
He just stood there. He didn't get to play.
He was sat next to drinking. He was getting involved.
Yeah, he gets to drink, but he doesn't get to ask any questions.
You didn't see that on screen, but in my mind he was.
Well, I hope so, because he's played it like five times now and just gets to watch.
No, I don't think he was watching. I think we saw it because we were seeing like Jamie and Tyrion and that kind of dynamic again, and the dynamic between Jamie and Brienne. And it was nice. You see her using him as support and him having that pride of being with her.
Well, I certainly hope he's involved. He seemed happy enough. He flashed Tormund a big old weird smile.
Yeah, and turned around and smiled and had two girls with him.
Yeah. the greatest victory of the episode, Podrick walking off with two girls.
He's
after
not
the
in
feast.
Need of any other other help.
So we predicted that he could have some great feat on the battlefield. I guess surviving is a great feat considering how few of them did it. We said maybe he gets knighted in some fashion or something. He hasn't had anything yet, but Gendry just got made a whole lord of a region, of a kingdom. So maybe Pod will get something because he did it exactly the same as Gendry. Who knows?
I didn't know whether he has any more to play out in the time that we have. But considering we said this last time, we didn't know whether any of them would have time to play out, and they've all had big parts in these episodes.
Yeah, and now there's really not. There's two episodes left. But so Jaime has ditched Brienne and rode south.
You know I don't believe that.
Well, even, whether you believe it or not, he has ridden south,
no,
so he's gone.
No, he's ridden south, but I don't believe that. You know that I always see things in a positive light, and I think that... Despite watching Game of Thrones, I think that actually, in his head, he understood what was happening because Cersei had come up with Bron, tried to get him to come and kill him, and he knows kind of where she's at, and he knows he's the only person who can get to her.
Okay, fine.
I think that he's going to kill Cersei.
That's not my point.
I know.
The point is that Jaime has gone south, okay?
But anyway,
we're not talking about why.
I know.
We're not talking about why. We've not got time. Okay, so he's gone south. Now, there's talk of maybe Brienne will follow him to save him, maybe tell him off, whatever. So if she does do that, do you see maybe Podrick going with her, or maybe Brienne, because she would have to talk to Sansa about leaving, obviously. Maybe she breaks off her oath, possibly.
Mm.
Maybe she'll say, well, I will go, but Podrick will stay and look after you, because Podrick has got those two girls on the go as well, so he's got a lot of responsibilities now.
No, I really think if she goes, he will go too, and she will be on orders from Sansa. I don't see her going. Well, no, like you said, she's definitely not going without Sansa's say-so, but I don't see her leaving Podrick behind.
No, I don't think she'd go without Sansa's say-so.
No, and I don't think he'd be left behind in any way.
Mm.
The only thing I could see is him maybe being like knighted in some way by Sansa.
Yeah, okay. So if he goes south, then so he's going to have another battle, theoretically, to survive?
Yeah.
Do we get another pod song?
I'd love a pod song, and I'd love him to survive another battle, but he's too nice a character.
Yeah, but I think they will now. I don't think they'd dare to touch Podrick because he's too popular.
Yeah, but you can say that about a lot of characters that died.
Who's that popular that's died so far?
Well, everyone loved Ned.
Oh, yeah, ages ago. I mean, like now, season 8.
Jorah,
people are 50-50.
Really? Like Jorah. Lyanna.
Yeah, okay. But no one liked that death, so it kind of sundered it.
I thought it was a brilliant death.
Yeah, I know, so did I, but people are weird. Let's move on to Bronn. And in the notes that I've written down, I know it doesn't sound like it, but we do write down notes. It says simply, told you.
Well, you told me nothing.
I told you that he wasn't interested in going being friends with them. He was going and getting a castle. That's all he's interested in.
And
that's the point of Bronn, to remind you of that.
No, but I said...
Yeah.
I like to point out, I said he would do that for something, but I don't think he would ever actually kill them.
He looked like he was ready to kill them.
Yeah, but he didn't.
No, he didn't, but he could have.
Yeah,
if they'd...
he uses it as a bargaining chip.
I think if he was going to, he could. I could easily see him coming back and killing one of them if he really wanted.
Right, but I don't see it. I don't see that at all.
But and your whole
you
thing...
You can't say told you
I can.
Until one of them's dead.
No, because
no,
your whole thing... was that he
won't
was
go through with it.
No, your whole thing was that he really does like them and they are best friends and he was going to go and help them in some way.
Right, no.
Yes.
I said that he can go and
it's on tape. You can't play this game anymore.
You can go and listen to it.
I will.
All I said was he would use it as a bargaining chip the same way that he's used stuff in the past as a bargaining
Not
chip.
Not what you said, revisionist history.
No, alright, we're going to go listen to it. I said that. And I said that he would use it as a bargaining chip, but he would never actually go through with it. That was my point.
Your point was you thought he was really nice. My point was
he
doesn't...
I didn't think he was nice.
No, but you were, that he liked both of them and he did actually have this loyalty to one or the other or both.
Yes.
And my point was, no, he doesn't.
Right.
He is a player of the Game of Thrones.
You cannot say defensively either way because he hasn't killed them.
Because there's no point yet.
Right.
That he threatened them and he broke Tyrion's nose.
Right. Okay, so he threatened
and nearly
him
shot Jaime.
He threatened him, broke Tyrion's nose, nearly shot Jaime, but he didn't actually do it.
Okay, but by your logic, so did he go up there because he's loyal? Did he not kill them because he's loyal, or did he not kill them because he might get a castle out of it if they survive?
Right.
Yes or no?
He's using that as a bargaining chip. The whole point that I said to you cannot say I told you so until one of them dies.
Do you still think
you
he's
cannot
the,
say I told you so
do you
until
still
one,
think,
I'm not gonna back down.
I'm not asking you that question. Do you think he is not killed them because he's loyal to them, or do you think he's not killed them because he might get a castle?
I said this deep down, yes, I think he is loyal to them. I think
well,
he's...
where's the evidence for that?
But if you let me finish what I'm saying, then you'll hear it. that deep down he is loyal to them, and actually he uses it as a bargaining chip. I said that all along. He will use it.
So,
but yes, he is a sellsword, but he does have loyalty to them. And if they can offer him more, which they did, that, he wasn't going to ever kill them.
That's not loyalty. That's serving his own interest.
No, it's serving his own interest. But because he's not the character to show his emotions, is he? And so that he cares for people. That's not...
Because he doesn't.
No, that's what you think. You don't know that.
Going by the evidence, I think I do.
No, you don't. Yeah, you don't know what's going on in someone's head.
So I was right, is what we've got to.
No, it's not.
At any rate, Bronn remains on the arc that I suggested, that he reminds everyone that he is just a cutthroat, because he even says it himself that he is a cutthroat who's become a lord
people
and he's willing to kill...
People say things and do things and have absolutely different meanings. You cannot, because there's evidence to one of them.
You're really, that's clutching at straws now.
I'm not clutching at any straws. You can literally listen to what I said. Okay. He will use it as a bargaining chip, but he won't go through with it. And he hasn't gone through with it, so my point still stands.
Yeah, but not really, because
you
you've
can
also...
say not really, move on.
You can, but not really, because you still think he's loyal to them when there's zero evidence for that. I still think he's serving his own self-interest, 100% evidence for that.
No.
You're just hoping that we don't know what's going on in his mind.
You're going off what people say. If you go off what people say, you would have died really quickly in the Game of Thrones. You don't go off what people say.
Don't you? So I shouldn't ignore all dialogue in this show?
No, but there's a lot of other things going on. We talk about the conflict in characters and the emotions within them, and you're just ignoring that and going with, no, he said this, this is the evidence.
So you think Bronn is playing a game with them, and he's acting he's acting like he doesn't really like them, but he does really?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. No, I'm going to pat you on the head now.
Stop it.
No. Pat you on your Daenerys hair.
Stop it.
All right, we've got to move on. We've got to move on. Because we've got the biggest one yet to talk about. No, we do. Do you think we actually see Bronn again? Because it could be we just don't. Because he says he'll come and find them after the war. And you would think that this time the end of the war is the end of the show. So do you think we might not actually see him again?
The only way that I think you could see him again is... the way that we've said that we might see Gendry in like a closing scene, and the way that I could see it is him just sat away from the battle just watching it all play out.
Yeah. Are you expecting like
don't
so like a horse is about to trample Jaime, or like someone's about to drive a spear through Tyrion, and then Bronn, hero Bronn, comes from over the hill. I'm just asking.
It's not what I think is going to happen. I don't think he's going to save them. I don't think he's going to interfere in any way, but I don't think he's going to go through with killing them. I think they'll get killed by other people.
Oh, yes, anyway. But anyway, my point isn't that he'll kill them. My point is what he's up to.
You don't know.
Let's move
on
to Missandei, because that's quite a large topic to talk about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, in our predictions, there's obviously no way, I don't think anyone, but especially us, thought that Missandei would actually be this big of a deal at any point in the season. Definitely didn't seem like it early on.
We did in some way, because we said that she would be used as a character to show like Daenerys and her kind of emotions and talking that. I know people wouldn't expect the extent that it went to.
No.
But we did say how much like Daenerys cared for her, she'd care for Daenerys, and that connection between them, and that's what they used. They used her connection.
Yeah, it's odd really that I'm pretty sure we don't see them talk this whole season, do we?
No, but what every...
She stands next to her a few times, wouldn't it?
Everything she said, really, if you take away her Grey Worm bit, her bit in the crypt was, well, without the Dragon Queen, you'd all be dead.
Yeah.
It was Dracarys. It was, everything was for Daenerys.
Yeah, of course. And you're right, yeah, she was, you know, this whole episode really was about what's happened to Daenerys. Missandei's already led the tracks for that. And she did have her own little reflection of Daenerys' storyline by feeling outcast, same as Daenerys did. In this episode, if she didn't already. But again, we obviously didn't think this was going to happen. We did think she would probably die as soon as her and Grey Worm started talking about Island Holidays, because it's not a good idea, is it?
Think of a happily ever after.
And then they held hands in this episode, even worse crime. Yeah. So we all knew what was going to happen. But this obviously surpasses anything we thought of in terms of getting her involved and making her important, because we easily could have gone through season 8 and not really had anything to do with her.
Oh, yeah.
So, and now she's a major part of the end of the story.
Yeah, she's the whole way that played out, that whole scene, I think just really broke something within Grey Worm, broke something within Daenerys. It was the real crack that one character you'd consider minor, we thought was just going to get killed off, was going to be that character that left behind, but actually, no, she's such a pivotal character to other main characters that someone who's a soldier, as Grey Worm, who has killed hundreds and thousands of people for Daenerys, can't watch die.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
And, like,
yeah, Daenerys had all that training as a kid to not care about death and all that type of thing.
Yeah, and Daenerys, who, yes, like, she's burnt people and she's had people killed and things like that, she couldn't take her eyes away from it. Someone who is more caring towards her people couldn't not look away. I think it's broken something within them.
Yeah, this is the... We didn't really think there was much of an arc left for her, not really a conclusion. Yeah. This is obviously, again, the best they could have done, because it proves her worth. We saw in that little those like 2 seconds after the reaction shots, proved her worth to Daenerys, but also to Grey Worm, or Wormsy, as someone called him earlier in the week.
What?
Yeah, it's good.
no.
And like you say, we're going to see the repercussions of that. Her fingerprints are going to be over episode 5 and 6. So definitely episode 5.
I don't think we say fingerprints, I think we have to say blood.
Yeah, her blood, good part. But also, it is a good, well, not a good, a good as in interesting, but tragic conclusion to her arc, because her whole thing, obviously, was about being freed from slavery. And when Tyrion's a Marine, she expands on the whole slavery thing. And she died after being recaptured and, okay, not a slave, but being under capture. So it makes it even more tragic that that's how she had to die. She didn't die free.
But I think she felt free. If you think about kind of her last words, she could have proclaimed like love. She was this person who was so vocal, and her whole point was her linguistics and her languages and her knowledge, and her final words were one word.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk about those last words then, because this is vengeful Missandei. She's telling Daenerys to burn them, essentially. Yeah. Dragonfire is what she's saying, which kind of relates back to her in season 6 again, when she's with Tyrion and the Master. They're talking about the Masters, and her and Grey Worm both, very understandably, have no interest in peace or anything. And I think she says something about there's only one language they understand. So she's kind of
they spoke it as their mother tongue. That's what she said.
Yeah, something. So she's bringing that back, and she's definitely going to have a very large imprint.
I think with her last words, with her, what happened to her, I think it really reflects back to just the snapshot when you see Bran looking back through the history and you see burn them all.
I was definitely... is Dany going to say it? Is Dany going to say it? Because she looked pissed and she definitely could have said it.
Well, with that...
You might do it still.
With the extent of that, it was really, in my eyes, it was Tyrion's last effort to... not even save Missandei. I think he knew that she was gone. I think it was his last way of kind of saving that control within Daenerys. And then obviously the way that it was played out within Grey Worm. And I think now, without that, without Missandei as that logic, that reason behind it, the person who uses her words the same way that Tyrion did, he doesn't got the control and the kind of love that Missandei had with Grey Worm. And then obviously...
I disagree. I think he definitely was intending to save Missandei. And that's why he walked to the walls. He knew he had to make a Hail Mary. Because the whole episode is him and Varys kind of realising what's happened to Daenerys and what state she's in. So Tyrion is smart enough to know if Missandei dies, that, like, to pardon my French, but they are buggered, everyone.
Yeah, I know. I get that what you're saying, but what I meant is that he was pleading with Cersei not to have, if she did followed out what she was claiming to do, she was going to almost convert Daenerys into those Targaryens that did want to burn them all.
Okay.
What do you get?
No, that's not.
Okay.
I do think it could have actually been a bit more brutal. I was half expecting either hanging, they put a noose around her neck, because that'd be rough to watch, obviously, or that Cersei was just going to push off that wall. And then she was going to, like, die in pain, crippled or something horrible. She actually got off quite nicely compared to a lot of other people. She got beheaded.
Yeah, but that is how Daenerys killed with a marine, she killed people by beheading.
Yeah.
Darren Harris did that. It was quite a fitting way. But yeah, you're right, it is clean. Like, considering the mountain's the one who killed her.
That's what, yeah, you just saw on God. What's he
it could have
do?
Been anything. Yeah. And considering their kind of thoughts, I'm surprised they didn't burn her or give her a slow death.
Yeah, they could have, like, hanged her with chains or something. That's, like, just to be a dick about it.
No, I know what you mean, but I think...
Let's just be glad anyway that it was clean. Cleaner. So, I'm obviously not seeing Miss Andy again. But what do you think about how we interpreted her and where it's spiked above what we thought?
Wildly different. I think it's a really good fitting kind of tie-in, though. If you think that kind of... There was already a war and there was already battles. There was already things going on. But really, what sparks off all the drama within Game of Thrones is the beheading of Ned. Yeah. And to finish it, yeah, to spark all of this fury and the Targaryens and everything, is another beheading. And considering Missandei is, before this season, would have been considered a minor support, not minor, but a supporting character, you'd not consider it her as pivotal, but the reaction she can cause within other people because of her connections, because of her art, because of her storylines, that actually it was just as moving.
Yeah, good point. All right, we're running low on time. Let's very quickly, Marie, you just give me your most interesting part or aspect of this episode, if you've got one.
I think, I don't know whether it's most interesting, but I think in terms of the whole episode, I don't ever dislike episodes. There's parts that I don't like, obviously. I think there's lots of parts that everyone has, with their own opinions, dislikes. I dislike the idea of this conflict between Daenerys and Jon, and this knowledge of I don't like that underpinning it all. I find it more difficult to deal with, but I always enjoy the episodes. I think with everything that's going on, it was a really good setup, but there was flaws in it. It did. I don't like the fact that Euron seems to be this absolute power.
I still like Euron.
I know. That type of thing. There's certain elements I didn't like, but then if I wanted everything to go my way, it wouldn't be Game of Thrones. So
that's true. I wrote about this earlier in the week, so I won't talk about it too much, but my favourite part easily was the Tyrion-Varys dynamic. We've not had those two be as strong for a long time. They both had really moving speeches, and you can just really see Varys kind of chipping away at Tyrion to realise or admit, and Sansa also did it, making Tyrion realise what's happening to Daenerys. And they also did a really good job of showing why Daenerys is going to be feeling this way, because it's a real rough time of it, and it's just a real tragic, pitiful end to someone who is seen come from also slavery.
Yeah, I think with them though, you've always got to go back to the fact that, well, Daenerys did say she's going to break the wheel.
Yeah. Well, we will see.
We didn't know in what way.
No. Well, we will see. Looking forward to episode 5?
I'm always looking forward
to it. Your haircut?
I'm always looking forward to it, but I don't want it to end.
No. 2 left. Not good at it.
No, I worry about your sanity. We're getting too close to the end.
Yeah. Who knows what I'll do?
As long as we keep the dog, it's fine. Don't give our dog away.
Depends if Amelia Clark's mom. Okay, are you ready to say goodbye, Lady Buckley?
Bye.
Okay, that was Lady Buckley there being dead wrong about Bronn yet again. And that was our minicast for Last of the Starks. We might try and get one extra out tomorrow, but maybe we won't have time. I'm running short on time now, so I won't bother you. Just another reminder, go and check out that History of Westeros book to show, or show to book, stream from Wednesday. Really good fun, really, really thankful again. And check out all the rest of their stuff, obviously, because both the History of Westeros and Radio Westeros, because the amount of work they put in is incredible, as is the finished product, which I also get to help out with from time to time, which is fun. Okay, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Keep on getting in touch with us. We love to hear from you, all the residents of the Isle. Please let us know what you like, what you dislike. I know her opinions about Bronn, I already know that one, but tell me again anyway. If you've got any suggestions or comments or just want to say hello, please get in contact with either one of us on Twitter or anywhere else. Might be back tomorrow. If not, enjoy the episode, and we'll be back next week with more stuff. Bye, guys.